talking to those CEOs and showing them what improvements we've done, that we're serious about wanting their business back, and what improvements are yet to come over the next few years.
Next year's cruise season is expected to be a little busier than this year for both ports. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. That much and more up next. Governor Sean Parnell appointed Haynes Dean Risley to the Chilkat Bald Eagle Preserve Advisory Council Monday. The council assists the Alaska Department of Fish and Game in the development and monitoring of a management plan for the Alaska Chilkat Bald Eagle Preserve, located along the Chilkat River and Haynes Highway. Risley's been a commercial fisherman since 1987 and was appointed to the seat reserved for a member of the Upper Lynn Canal Fish and Game Advisory Committee. He's a U.S. Army veteran and the current chairman of the Chilkat Fish and Game Advisory Board. He's also a member of the Local Harbor Advisory Board in Haynes. State statute establishes the 12-member advisory council to assist the department in the development and monitoring of a management plan for the preserve. Other two-year seats appointed by the governor are a resident of the Haynes Borough representing a conservation organization and a representative of the Fish and Wildlife Service. Several others also serve ex officio as members, including the Haynes mayor and an assembly member, the president of Klukwan Inc., the chair of the Council of the Chilkat Indian Village, the chair of the Chilkoot Indian Association, the commissioner of Fish and Game, the director of the Division of Parks, and the director of the Division of Forestry. The borough can also recommend for appointment a resident to represent commercial or industrial interests. The Skagway Assembly takes a closer look at the capital improvement projects priority list at this week's Assembly meeting. The list includes projects such as the small boat harbor and the library. The group meets in their regular bi-monthly meeting at 7 p.m. Thursday in Assembly Chambers at City Hall. The Assembly will also consider a citizen letter requesting permission to hold another Dai bicycle race in late September. Almost 30 participants rode in the cyclocross bicycle race last year, which had riders doing short laps over mixed surfaces with some obstacles. More cruise ship passengers will visit the Northern Lynn Canal next year, with dockings up overall in both Haynes and Skagway.
You know, Princess has added a ship. Royal Caribbean's added a ship. We're going to have 25 more sailings of around 2,100 passengers with each sailing.
Skagway Tourism Director Buckwheat Donahue says that adds up to a little over 50,000 capacity increase for next year.
And, you know, the merchants and tour operators are totally jazzed about that.
Disney Cruise Lines is finishing up their first year of sailings to Alaska and is booked for next year, too. They'll be docking in Skagway on Thursdays instead of Fridays in 2012.
Next year, we're going to have 3 4-ship days, and on alternating weeks, we'll have 4 4-ship days. So we're going back to being totally slammed again. And as far as revenue is concerned, that's going to make a lot of people happy.
The 2012 Skagway cruise season starts Friday, May 4th with the Carnival Spirit and ends with the Zwieterdam on September 25th. But that's a long ways off. This year's cruise season ends Friday, September 23rd, when the Century leaves port. More cruise ship passengers will dock in Haynes next year, too, despite two of this year's ships not showing so far in the preliminary schedule.
Yes, that is true, and that's primarily because Princess is going to dock here 3 times.
Tanya Carlson is Haynes Tourism Director. Princess only made it 1 time this year, with a last-minute cancellation in June because of a norovirus outbreak. On the other hand, Oceania's schedule is not out yet, and Crystal is not coming to Haynes next year. 2011 was each of the line's first time to Haynes.
With the canceled sailing, losing that, we'll have about 2,500 more next year.
This is Carlson's first full season in the borough position and described next year's schedule as upbeat, especially after the hard hit the port town took at the time of that early season cancellation.
It was nice to see Princess add one more ship in there. It at least lets us know, I think, that they do like us and they're, you know, slowly starting to get some more business our way. And they've got larger ships, which is also helpful. And, of course, we've got the World Residency coming back, and I think they stopped here a year or so ago. And for them, their owners, the people who own the different suites on board, get together and choose their itinerary. So they've been here before, and it's nice to see that they want to come back.
A Haines-based cruise ship passenger survey approved by the Assembly earlier this year began this season.
You know, compared to comments I've seen from visitors in the past about our town, the comments I've heard from people this year, and even with our cruise passenger survey going on, have been overwhelmingly positive. People love it here and can't figure out why more cruise ships don't stop here.
But beyond the cruise ship passengers, what does the cruise ship industry think of Haines today?
You've got the Shorexes who are on the front line here, and the Shorexes really love us. Even those who dock in Skagway like coming here. So you have the people who, you know, organize all of the shore excursions for each of the different cruise lines within Alaska. And they, too, are on the Haines wagon saying, you know, Haines is great. We would love to come back. We'd love to work with you guys. So it's really, you know, I think we've won kind of going up the ladders, if you will. We're slowly getting people back on our side. But now we've got to reach the people who make the decision makers. And that's going to be the strong effort that we're going to have at SeaTrade this year, is talking to those CEOs and showing them what improvements we've done, that we're serious about wanting their business back, and what improvements are yet to come over the next few years.
The SeaTrade annual convention in Miami in March brings together many of the players in the cruise industry. Besides attending, the Haines Tourism Department is also working with other small Southeast communities to liven a program called Backroads Alaska that aims to bring cruise traffic to second-tier ports like Hoonah, Sitka, and Haines.
So we're coming to the cruise lines with an actual itinerary for them to look at. And both Sitka and, of course, Haines, we have already passed through both of our assemblies that for the first ship to pick up the itinerary, that will waive port fees for their first year, just as an added incentive.
Carlson began the new job in March, about 3 months before the first cruise ship pulled in. Back then, she said a big goal was bringing more cruise ships to Haines. A lot has happened since then, giving her a clearer idea of what Haines can handle in terms of visiting cruise ships.
Ideally, I think 5 in a week would be nice. I think it'd be good for the businesses here. It would certainly help grow the economy a little bit and sustain a lot of businesses a bit better through the winter. And I think, you know, that's part of what I also got out of our community survey that took place earlier this year. They wanted to see more cruise ships, certainly not, you know, one every single day. But 5 is a nice number. It gives us a couple days off in there to kind of calm down and come back off of all the people walking around, but, you know, keep things moving at least.
As far as the work Haines would have to do to get there, she says they're on the right track.
So I think we make a very big impact on the guests, especially when their next port of call is Juneau and they get off bombarded with lots of people and lots of jewelry shops. They can look back at their experience here and say, you know, that was nice. That was real Alaska. We had the town to ourselves. It was wonderful.
Next year, Haines cruise season starts a little earlier on Wednesday, May 23rd, with the Zaandam. It ends slightly earlier, too, on September 19th, 2012. This year's final cruise ship into Haines Port Chilkoot Dock is scheduled for Wednesday, September 21st. A former Southeast Alaska resident is among the millions of Americans who experienced Hurricane Irene this past weekend. Shady Grove Oliver was the Morning Edition host at Sitka's Raven Radio last summer. She now lives in New York City, where she's attending grad school at Columbia University. She spoke with KCAW's Ed Ronco on Saturday afternoon, where she was preparing for the hurricane's arrival at her apartment in Upper Manhattan. She said her Alaska backpacking gear gave her a leg up in preparing for the storm.
So as they're telling New Yorkers, you know, make sure you have a way to get drinking water, I'm thinking, well, I've got iodine tablets and I have a water filter. So as long as I can get water, or as long as I have water, I can make sure that it's safe to drink. I also have a camp stove. In the unlikely instance that I wouldn't be able to use my stove, I have a camp stove and fuel. I have lots of matches at all times. So it actually has come in handy just to know that I've got this sort of rural safety net sitting in my closet.
As it turned out, the storm's effects were less severe in New York City than anticipated. Ronco checked in with Oliver again last night to get an update on Irene's aftermath.
My neighborhood did do quite a bit better because it is higher up in elevation, so we didn't get a lot of the damage that did happen in other areas. Also, my building happens to be facing the east, and a lot of the wind was coming from the west. So So the west-facing buildings, there were a few on the other side of Central Park that did lose some windows, things like that. On the Lower East Side, there was some damage to a few buildings. A few signs were knocked over. And then there was quite a bit of flooding around the edges of Manhattan Island and out into some of the boroughs. But up here, it did fare pretty well. There were quite a few puddles in the morning, but other than that, not much damage.
We know that New York City took its public transportation system offline in anticipation of the storm. Are the trains and buses running again?
The subways aren't running yet. Maybe a few have started. Maybe a few will start a little bit later tonight. But there are buses back on the streets today, and it definitely makes a big difference. The streets were sounding pretty quiet yesterday with a lot of people trying to get off them. So things are slowly getting back to normal again.
Sounds at least like the worst is over and that you didn't have to get your camping gear out of the closet.
No camping gear out of the car, but the extra tufts came in handy for wading through a few spontaneous lakes that decided to pop up around the city.
That was former Sitkin Shady Grove Oliver talking to KCAW's Ed Ronco about Hurricane Irene. Oliver lives in New York City, where the storm's effect was less severe than anticipated. Irene's damage was more acutely felt along other parts of the eastern seaboard. For KHNS, I'm Tara Bicknell. Special thanks to Ed Ronco for his help with this report.